morning, everybody. I just wanted to tell you, I got a little carried away with putting hymn numbers into the bulletin today. For today. I'm singing the first song, and I am doing the song after the service. You don't have to worry about singing along. And they just so happened to be songs from the Brethren's hymn book that Marv was talking about yesterday. So we're going to actually hear some of those songs.
Before we get into the call to worship, I just want to say that it is Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday today, and that's what I'm going to be talking to the children about during children's story, but I need a little bit of help because Anabaptists don't just speak English. They speak many languages. So when we have our children's story, I'm going to ask if anybody can say Jesus loves you in another language. So any language that you're comfortable besides English, and you know, one or two people can certainly say it in High German and Low German as well. I'm looking for, you know, Chinese, Russian, Swahili. Well, can you say it? Can you say it? Think about it. You don't have to if you don't want to, but just think about it if you could. And just for the kids to understand, you can be Mennonite and not speak English or German. So anyway, that's keep in mind that we're worshiping with many Anabaptists around the world today. We're all thinking of each other and think of the languages that you can say Jesus loves you in. And Jessica will be going, whoever puts their hand up during children's story when I ask who can say Jesus loves you in another language, Jessica will bring the mic to you, so please do wait for the mic at that time. Okay, now we'll get into our service. Thank you for your patience. Let us bring our minds to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think of our service now. Jesus, we are here. We are here in this place dedicated to worship and prayer. We are here to listen to your voice and experience your power. Jesus, we are here. We are here along with the throng of your disciples around the world. We thank you for sisters and brothers assembled in churches and chapels and homes in cities and villages across the globe. With them, we gather around your word to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Jesus, we are here. With the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesian church, we pray that the eyes of our hearts may be opened in order to know the hope to which you have called us, to know the riches of our glorious inheritance as your holy people and your incomparably great power for us who believe. And now turn into your hymn book, the number 15, O Prince of Peace.
I think this is a new one, too, so, yeah. Trudy's going to play it once for us first.
So welcome to everybody this morning. Happy to see everyone here and ready to just join us in worship. Are there any guests who would like to be introduced this morning? Okay, all familiar faces today. I just want to highlight a few of the community things and we'll get into the sharing after the children's story. Next Sunday is Food Bank Collection Sunday. So the kids love to collect the food, that the non-perishable food that everybody brings. So let's keep in mind when we go grocery shopping this week to buy one or two items for our food bank as well. And pancake breakfast. Everybody loves a good pancake breakfast, and that's on Saturday, February 8th, and it's a fundraiser for our kids' club. And faith exploration classes. If anybody is interested, give Pastor Marv a call or have a chat with him after the service. And does anybody else have anything that they would like to add to community life? Anybody have anything they want to say? No? Okay, then we will gather for the children's story. My mic person is gone, so John Michelle. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So you were probably listening to me when I said all around the world, Anabaptists are thinking of each other in particular today, that we are all remembering that it's not just in Winnipeg that we are just thinking about our faith and our Lord. So Anabaptist, you probably, does anybody know what Anabaptist is? Oh, you know what an Anabaptist, what's an Anabaptist? Something? Yeah. Well, you know, an Anabaptist, there was a time when everybody was baptized as babies. And then somebody decided, but why are we getting baptized as babies when we don't even know why we're getting baptized? We think that we should wait until we're adults or teenagers, at least, till we know what it means to be baptized. And baptism means that you have decided that you truly love Jesus and believe that he died and came back to life so that we can have our sins forgiven and go to heaven one day. Hopefully not too soon, you guys. And so see this map over here? And do you see all the different colors on that map? Right there where my finger was, that's us in Canada. Do you see many more dots than that? Do you see dots in Africa? Do you see dots in South America? Do you know anybody living in any of those countries? No? Do we know anybody who maybe used to live in any of those countries? No, I think Bol and Nestory used to live in Africa, and now they live here with us. And there's Europe is up there too, and many of these people came from that area, and Asia and Russia is up there. All of those countries are celebrating today. So, do you think everybody where those dots are speaks English? You say yes and you say no. No, you guys are right. No, not everybody speaks English. And these are some languages that I found on the internet that say Jesus loves you in different languages. But we have people in our church who can speak more than one language. And some of them are willing to put up their hands, and Jean-Michel will take the mic to them, and they will say, Jesus loves you in different languages. They will tell us what language they're saying it in, and then they'll say it. So listen and see if it even sounds like English, if it's even close to that.
So in French, it's Jésus vous aime.
Anybody else?
In Spanish, Jesús te amo. Deutsch, Jesus liebt dich. Low German, Jesus läuft dich. In English, Jesus loves you.
See, Anna can speak four languages. That's pretty awesome. Is there anybody else?
In Russian, Christos любит тебя.
That was Russian. Anybody else?
Swedish? Jesus älskar dig.
Wow, so we have some different languages Anybody else? Well, thank you for being willing to share with us, those of you that did. And so we could hear that Jesus loves you is said in many different languages. But all of the people in the world are as important to Jesus as the ones here that just speak English. So let's say a prayer. And oh, there was a map up there just for those in the pews to also see all the dots. Okay, let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we worship today in the church service and in Sunday school, let's remember that there are many children and adults also in the Anabaptist world worshiping you. Let us be aware and care about all these different people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Time for Sunday school. Yep. And now if we could please stand up if you're able, turn to hymn 336 in the hymnal worship, and we will sing the memorial hymn for Anita Voth, When Peace Like a River. That was the hymn chosen by her family, and we will sing the first verse. Michelle has the mic, so is there anybody who would like to share with the congregation this morning? Any prayer requests, any joyful celebrations, joyful thank yous, any sharing? Okay, then I will just bring a few items to our attention. Lainey Hamm-Lussier is very excited to be celebrating her third grandchild and its granddaughter, Aurora Anna Lussier Rogers. Too bad it's so far in New Zealand, but she got to have a good time with that little girl and the family. So let us keep them in our prayers. And and of course, let's always keep in mind those of our church family members who are in personal care homes, in hospitals, lonely at home. Loneliness is a very depressing feeling. So if there's a name that pops into your head and you think, oh, I bet he or she could like a little visit, follow that little thought and either make a phone call just to chat or take the time to make that visit, because it really is a precious gift for them. And now
We will turn to our hymn book number 362 and sing Help Us to Help Each Other. Bow in prayer. Thank you, God, our Creator, who seeks to restore fallen humanity by calling us to faithful fellowship, worship, service, and witness together. We worship you, Jesus, Son of God. Through your life, teachings, cross, and resurrection, you showed us how to be faithful disciples, redeem the world, and offered us eternal life. We call upon you, Holy Spirit, to empower us to trust God in all areas of life. May we become peacemakers who renounce violence, love our enemies, seek justice, and share our possessions with those in need. Give thanks that Anabaptists around the world are united in faith in God's kingdom across language and cultural differences. Pray that Mennonite World Conference member churches who are suffering persecution and hardship may have courage and hope to persevere. As a worldwide community of faith and life, we transcend boundaries of nationality, race, class, gender, and language. We seek to live in the world without conforming to the powers of evil, witnessing to God's grace by serving others, caring for creation, and inviting all people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Here in our home church, we pray for those in nursing homes and hospitals, for those that are housebound, for those who are not able or willing to share their worries and their concerns. We pray for them even though we do not know their name. In our bulletins, we have many names, and we do keep those names in our prayers when we ask for their help for them, Lord. Give us peace within our hearts to pray, God, so that we can work towards peace with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we'll have the offering now. Thank you, Trudy. Before we get into our service in the Bible readings, I just want to say thank you for your gift of offerings. And I want to also, I forgot to highlight this, that checks and cash work well, but there's also e-transfers are what a lot of the younger, I'm putting myself in younger generation, they like that method of payment, and we are certainly set up to do that. There are a number of people who are already doing that. Or you can also contact Leanna at the office, and you can set up monthly withdrawals from your bank account. I know some people prefer that as well. So I just had, sorry, I forgot to bring that to everyone's attention before that. So let's get back into our worship mode here. And I'm going to read Mark 2, verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The second reading is from Ephesians 1:15-19. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the people to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength."
Well, good morning. And Linda, so I understood you correctly, you're ranking yourself among the younger generation, is that right? All right. Yeah, I guess I can sort of picture why. Well, it's good to be gathered together again to worship. We have been brought there with song, with Trudy's piano stylings, and we have appreciated that. Why don't we pray once again before we tackle our topic for this morning? Our God, we come to you with gratitude for being able to be here among our friends, family, thinking also of people around the world who may not have the opportunity. So we are grateful, and we pray that our words, our thoughts, our meditations might be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Linda has given us some introduction to our overall theme and emphasis this morning, that provided to us by Mennonite World Conference, who proposes this Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday. Now, They do actually suggest that churches observe this on the third Sunday of January. Because of the way that we had scheduled things, we didn't do it last Sunday. So we're off by a week. We can do this today remembering that lots of Mennonites did this last Sunday, I take it. Or maybe lots of them had similar issues to what we did and are also doing it today. Who knows precisely? It's on this third Sunday of January because that is the anniversary of the day that those first Anabaptists in Switzerland decided that they needed to do something in 1525 to separate from the broader church and change things around. So planners for Mennonite World Conference issue resources that encourage Anabaptist churches around the world to think about the same theme texts on this occasion. So as we consider those texts, we'll think about how they apply to our shared life as Anabaptists around the world. Now, briefly, Linda gave us a quick attempt with the children to define Anabaptists. I'm going to say that we'll define Anabaptist Christians, very quickly, as those who descend from the 16th century Anabaptist movement that emphasized following Jesus, baptism for confessing adult believers, separation of church and state, and a commitment to nonviolence. Now, if that very quick definition is just way too simple for you, and you would like to get into this lots, well, then you could come and join our faith encounter class, or faith exploration class that was talked to you about earlier. One nice little plug, don't you think? Well, after looking at the text suggested for this Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday, I chose two of the four biblical texts suggested, and you heard those. Now, I note, this was an interesting note to me, that you have heard comments from me about three of the four texts fairly recently, if you were at the second night of our Thursday night Bible study on the Gospel of Mark, if you were at Ferdy Peters' funeral, and if you were at yesterday's annual general meeting. I think there is a very small select group of you who were present at those three occasions. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I think there's a few of you. So, we begin then with the story of the paralyzed man from Mark chapter 2. And then later on we'll add in some comments from Paul to his letter, from his letter to the Ephesians. So now, if you wonder what the four texts are, those two are the New Testament texts, and the Old Testament texts are Psalm 62 and Lamentations 3, 21 to 26. I thought I would entitle the sermon Through the Roof, drawing, of course, on the action in the story in Mark chapter 2. So I want to attempt to engage your imaginations as we think about the characters in this story. First, I invite you to think of yourself as one person in the crowd in that little house in Capernaum. Jesus has gone on a short tour of the towns around Capernaum after having done some teaching and some miracles in your town, Capernaum. And now he has returned. And you, along with many people in town, want to see what he is going to do next. You discover that he is in one house in town, and you head over there. You elbow your way in. You have to put your imagination into something else than this building right today. Because this place is packed full, and you have to elbow your way into this place. As you listen to Jesus talk about the new things that God is doing, you notice noise on the roof. Someone has climbed up there, and you can hear it. And then the noise intensifies. Someone is pulling and tearing at the mud and the straw that fills the space between the beams in the roof above you. And as you're listening, there's also straw and mud coming, falling down, landing on your shoulders, and it's getting in your eyes. The roof above you is being dismantled. After a while, the people on the roof create a hole in the roof big enough for a full-sized man to get through. And then the light that's coming through that hole in the roof dims, and you notice that an object that pretty much covers that hole is being dropped down. There's a mattress suspended by ropes, dropping down in front of you, and What is going on? As the mattress comes down to head height, you realize that there is a man lying on the mattress. Well, you know him, of course. Everybody's from the same town. He is someone who has been paralyzed since his youth due to an unfortunate accident. Well, what's going to happen now? First, Jesus declares that the man's sins are forgiven. This is astounding. And the religious leaders that are in the crowd immediately begin to talk about how a human has no right to declare that another human's sins are forgiven. That is up to God alone. Jesus senses that they are saying that, and then he tells the man to get up, pick up his mattress, and go home. Well, you understand the words that Jesus says at that moment to mean that healing the man will demonstrate that Jesus also has the right to declare that the man's sins are forgiven. That pretty much works for you. If he can heal this man who has been paralyzed for these last 20 years, I'm making that up, by the way, then surely he has the right to say that his sins are forgiven. That says something about who he is. Well, the man responds by getting up, taking his mattress, and going home. Well, it's actually not quite that easy. The house is packed full of people, after all, but you and the people around you find a way to compress yourselves enough so that the man is able to walk out with his mattress. You reflect that seeing that was worth the discomfort. You also reflect that the man certainly has some friends who will move mountains, well, at least some mud and straw, to help him. So with this bit of imagination, you have encountered the story as if you were one in the crowd. Now, back up with me and imagine once again that you are this paralyzed man. Let's say that my imagination is correct and you have lived in this condition for 20 years. You rely on others to help you so that you can eat and be clean. Your life is pretty dull. There are only so many scrolls around to read, and many days consist of lying on your mattress at the door of your house where you watch what your fellow villagers are doing on that particular day. Now, in recent days, you have been hearing about this man, Jesus, and the things he has been doing, and you are dreaming about the possibility of being miraculously healed of your paralysis. On this day, you have noticed, as you laid on your mattress outside, many townspeople running to the house down the street. There are more people congregating there than could possibly fit in that house. A few of your friends come by, headed in the direction of that house as well, and you ask them about what is going on. They tell you that Jesus is in the house. You get a little excited when you hear that, and you beg your friends to carry you to this house. After they look questioningly at each other, they shrug their shoulders, grab the corners of the mattress, and carry you to the house. Now, there is no possible way that they are going to get you into the house where Jesus is. The house is crammed full of people. Your friends discuss the issue, and one of them suggests that they could get some ropes, carry you up on your mattress onto the roof of the house, dig their way through the roof, and drop you down into the house suspended by ropes on your mattress. That sounds to you like it's a little crazy. But your friends know how badly you want to be healed, and they believe that Jesus just could be interested enough in your situation to heal you. Well, we've already told the rest of the story. Your friends are just crazy enough to do what they're thinking about. They know they're going to have to patch the roof after they've done, but they're willing to put the effort in, both to get you into the house and then to repair the damage they've done to the house, on the chance that you could be healed. Fortunately, one of them is a roofer by profession, by the way. And then Jesus does heal you. Now, what is the point of emphasizing this story and the aspects I've chosen to imagine and to highlight on this day? To answer that question, I invite you to place yourself into the story one more time. Three times lucky, you know. You've already thought about what it would have been like to be one of the people in the crowd, and to be the paralyzed man. Now imagine that you are one of the friends of this paralyzed man. When you and your friends are on your way to the house where Jesus is, another friend, one who is paralyzed, asks you to take him there. Are you eager to carry him over there, or are you not? Do you think there's much point? You can answer those questions for yourselves. In reality, we know that the friends in the story do go to great lengths to help their paralyzed friend. We don't know how eager or hesitant they might be, but we know that they choose to help. Their friend needs this help, and they respond. When we observe that act, we observe also the point of focusing on this story today. Planners for this Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday from Mennonite World Conference hope that Anabaptists around the world will think about what they can do to help their fellow Anabaptists. I imagine that we wonder about what kind of help is needed and how to go about giving that help. And I can tell you that the planners of this day have focused on the idea that prayer is what we can do for fellow Anabaptists around the world. They selected the text from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19, to serve as an example in that regard. In that text, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. He is absent from them. He has spent considerable time with them in the past, but he is not there at the time of writing. And he writes that he has not stopped being thankful for them and keeps them in his prayers. Then he writes that in his prayers, he is asking that God will help them to know God better and to know the tremendous hope that exists for the followers of Jesus. He characterizes the object of this hope as being the riches of God's glorious inheritance and God's great power. I'm not unpacking those this morning. The application of all this is that we can take the example of Paul and pray similar things for Anabaptists around the world, especially when they endure difficult situations. We can pray that they recognize the hope that followers of Jesus have in God's sustaining care and God's power to carry us through. Of course, this is relevant to much broader things than just the Anabaptist communion, but that's where our focus is today. Now, if you're like me, then you can't help but wonder, at least a little, what difference it makes for us to sit here in our comfortable North American situation and to pray for some Anabaptist group in a country in Africa or South America or Asia. You wonder what difference that can make. What I accept by faith is that the message frequently given in the New Testament is that the prayers of Christians in behalf of other Christians make a difference. I say that I accept that by faith, but I have also heard Christians express that they have felt supported and helped, that they have felt more capable to endure what they've been enduring when they have known that others are praying for them. And I think of something like this global Anabaptist thing, when Colombian Mennonite churches in the early 2000s were asking for churches in North America to partner with them as sister churches, my church in Calgary agreed to partner with a Colombian church in the city of Bogota. In 2003, I was able to visit the church that my church had partnered with. And the people there declared that our awareness of their situation, that we were paying attention to what was happening for them, and that our prayers for them encouraged them to continue on their path of being faithful to the call to follow Jesus. And so with that experience in mind, I encourage us to live with an awareness of the idea that our Anabaptist brothers and sisters around the world are encouraged by the sense that others are aware of their situations and are praying for them. This takes a bit of work on our part. We need to make a point of finding information about Anabaptist groups around the world. I suppose we do that largely by reading periodicals, by reading websites that carry such information. A place to start, of course, is the Mennonite World Conference website, where you can find news updates, prayer concerns, and a place to sign up to participate in prayer teams. And there we might learn, for instance, that the fairly small Mennonite group in Hong Kong desires our prayers for their city, as protesters are engaging in challenging the Chinese government to continue to give them civil liberties. And the Mennonite Church in Hong Kong, while they might not be active in that protest, are saying, this is important, and we would really love it if you prayed for our city. Or we might learn that Mennonites in Bolivia hope that we'll pray for them in the midst of political instability in their country. Or we might learn that the organizers of the next Mennonite World Conference Assembly in 2021 in Indonesia hope that we'll pray for that assembly. We might also go another step and familiarize ourselves with the list of countries that have Mennonite churches. We saw the map up posted earlier, and it hangs in the foyer in the back as well. We might look at that, study it a little bit. It's on the website too. And then work at thinking about what Mennonites in those countries might experience. We might familiarize ourselves with the general conditions in specific countries, supposing that the Mennonite church in that country also lives with those conditions. So in that vein, we might remember, for instance, our brother Peter McCaddy's recent request that we pray for Christians in Nigeria, where the Islamic-related group Boko Haram has treated Christians in violent ways in recent years. And then we would remember that Nigeria has a Mennonite church as well, and that they too might be experiencing violence. And so with a little effort, and especially if we're comfortable on the internet, we can learn about what Anabaptists around the world are doing and experiencing, and offer prayers in support of them. Of course, we can go beyond praying by giving financially to organizations that are working to support those people, but my perception is that the main reason Mennonite World Conference wants to have a day like this is to get Anabaptists around the world thinking about each other, and it's to encourage them to pray for each other. As we considered the story in Mark earlier, we noted that the paralyzed man came down through the roof with the help of his friends in order to be placed in front of Jesus. We've considered that action to be an inspiration to be aware of the situations of fellow Anabaptists around the world so that we can be of assistance in some way. While the phrase "through the roof" represents a downward movement in the biblical story, our normal usage of the phrase suggests a profound increase, right? We might say, for instance, that the cost of real estate in Winnipeg has gone through the roof in the last 2 decades. Well, we would mean that there has been a remarkable increase in the cost. Perhaps we can use that sense of the phrase as an inspiring thought at the end of the sermon. Perhaps in this year, our awareness and prayerful support of situations that Anabaptist believers around the world face could go through the roof. Join me in prayer. Our loving God, God of grace and power, you know that around this world there are millions and millions of people who choose to follow Jesus and worship you. And among those are also millions of people who call themselves Mennonites and Anabaptists. On this Sunday, we have been encouraged to remember them and to pray for the situations they are living with in their lives. Somehow, we recognize that praying for other people means something, makes a difference. So encourage us to keep on remembering to pray for each other right here in this congregation, for Mennonites around the world, for Christians around the world who are living in all kinds of scenarios. May our words and our prayers be a part of encouraging faithful following of Jesus around this world. Guide us, we pray, by your Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
could please rise for the benediction and then stay standing if you're able, and we will sing in the Brown Hymnal 385, Blessed Be the Ties That Bind. As we go from this place of worship and reflection and prayer, let us go with these words of blessings which conclude Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. Peace be to the community of believers around the world, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord, King Jesus, with a love that never dies. Amen. So 385 in the Brown Hymnal.